Brewing is as much about the process as it is about the product. At its most satisfying, brewing creates a culture and a community that goes beyond beer geekdom to make deeper connections. It's about learning, sharing, and creating. It's a touchstone that can make people who've never met instantly friends. Beer with Strangers starts now.
Welcome to episode 87 of Beer with Strangers. I'm your host, Tony Russo, and I'm joined this week, as I'm joined each week, by my co-host, Doug Griffith.
Good afternoon, Tony, and welcome to Extreme Brewing. I'll give the normal weather report. Today is cloudy and a little windy. It's not like it was yesterday. Man, it just roared here.
Yesterday was brutal.
Fortunately, we didn't have any bad weather here as they did down south, but we didn't have any tornadoes, so
yeah.
It was good.
Well, we had a tornado warning and a tornado watch, which meant that my wife called me every 14 seconds. You know, are you leaving yet? Tell me when you're leaving. And so then she grew up in Cincinnati, and So they had tornadoes were a thing. Like for me, they're just something that I see on The Wizard of Oz. I've never been around like an actual tornado. Yeah. Yeah. So
sound like down what Louisiana, Florida, Pensacola area, they had terrible tornadoes yesterday.
Yeah. So
previous night.
But we did okay, and now So we were having Mexican food last night. When I say Mexican food, I mean my wife added beans and spicy stuff to macaroni sauce. Not really, but and so I forgot to tell her that I was stopping for beer, and then I always get lost in the beer aisle. It's a problem. I'm like, well, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And then she's like, where are you? I guess she assumed I'd been sucked up by a tornado, but I was just sucked up by a beer tornado. So that was my evening. That was mine.
So what did you choose?
I ended up going with the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I don't know why. Okay, so the new problem with distribution is they don't keep the cans cold.
Oh, okay.
So if you want a can of beer, you have to be prepared in advance.
To take it home.
Right. So you're not going to.
Or you have an ice chest in your.
In my car, just in case I want to stop for a six-pack on the way home.
And then by the time you get home, it's cold.
Well, what I think I really might start to do, and I did it for a while and then I stopped, I might throw a growler back in my car because I probably should have just blown by. Like Third Wave is just a block from my house. And that's what I'm like, you know, I should just go and pick up some Shore Break or something like that.
You stop at Burley.
I got.
You can stop at Tall Tales.
Tall Tales, Evo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Rubber Soul.
Yeah,
there are five. Yes, I have five breweries between my house and my office, which is
a growler would do you well.
Yeah. There's no point in not having one. So I'm going to have to start carrying a growler again.
And you know, another thing, this time of year, you can actually get your can of beer the previous night. You leave it in your car; it's going to be cool for the next night.
Right. Well, the thing is,
summertime, but
I didn't have a taste for it until she told me what we were having for dinner, and I'm like, all right.
And actually, yesterday wasn't the best day because it got in the mid 60s here yesterday.
Yeah,
and now it's back down to maybe 50 today.
And that's where the tornadoes come from.
The it was warm.
The air going up and down will drive you crazy. So that was my dinner beer dilemma. I've been laying off the beer because I've hit a plateau, but sometimes you just I also had to start the taxes last night. So taxes plus Mexican food means get some beer. I owe it to myself. So those were our big adventures from last night. But what I wanted to talk about, we're going to start off with the homebrew portion of the show from now on.
Okay.
And that's just going to be the rules. So that way we, don't run out of time.
Because I want to talk to you about your, what was it, Love Event?
The Love on Craft on Beer, the Love on Tap.
Love on Tap, yes.
Right. But let's start with your Rausch beer. It came out, is out?
Yeah, we had an all-grain brewing demonstration last week, and Sean wanted to do a Rausch beer, which is a smoked beer. So he came up with the recipe. He used some beet smoked malts plus some cherry smoked, and we're going to test it here just before Tony gets out of here today to taste and see what it's like. But I had a taste yesterday. Both tasted good, but because we put them on two yeasts or put two yeast on them, fermented them with two different yeasts, each of them has a different taste. One, the smoke is more pronounced than the other. So it's just amazing the differences that the yeast put, make in the beer. So.
And you guys do that? You do that every year? Or is that just... You've been doing that more and more recently, trying out, showing people how the yeasts work differently.
Right. Whenever we do a batch, generally they're 10-gallon batches, and it just is easy to do because you generally separate them into 2 5-gallon batches to ferment. And if you use different yeast, you just see what the results are for 2 different yeasts. And a lot of people think, well, yeast is yeast, but it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a significant difference. And it's always a pleasure to try. I forget what you did last year. You did a dark beer last year as well with 2 different yeasts. And one was almost like Guinness when it was done. A stout of some sort. And the other one was bitter. Was it bitter? Was that the difference?
I think one of them, yes, it was more bitter because it dried the beer out.
Oh, right.
So there was less sugars left in it. And just that makes the beer more bitter. Because there are sugars where one didn't attenuate or didn't eat up as many sugars. So it was sweeter and more, I think those were stouts at the time.
Right.
And more what you expected a stout to be. One was dry and one was a little sweet. So,
and so is there a way to decide what, are there yeasts that just won't work with a particular beer taste-wise? Or is it like?
Probably, yes, there are, I would say. But as things go anymore, you try different things, and whatever seems to work, you use.
Right.
Used to be with wheat beers, you would use a wheat a yeast design more for wheat because it gets some of the clovey stuff out or bananas out on the wheat beers. But even these days, you can use them in any beer, and it gives you different results. Sometimes not what you expect, but if it
if you like it.
Yeah, if you like it, do it.
Right.
That's the way the craft beer seems to be going anymore. You know?
People aren't afraid to take chances anymore. Right. And again, I don't mind. I mean, I put it in my book, which is due out in May. I'm like, you can't – if you don't fail big occasionally, you know, you're never going to succeed big.
Well, most of the breweries do at least small.
Right.
Homebrew size batch.
And just try out stuff.
If it turns out right, then they'll go bigger.
Right. And speaking of bananas and speaking of going bigger and speaking of Love on Tap, I got a chance to try the Bad Banana Porter. It was good. It wasn't as sweet as I was afraid that it was going to be because I was afraid it was going to be sweet.
Now, who made that?
Vince Wright did from Finn City. Yeah. But he said that they used actual bananas. He said it's not going to be – they're not going to do many of them because he said.
A lot of peeling.
Yeah, well, and also it was a mess, and it was very, very, very expensive to soak the bananas to use actual bananas instead of a banana extract or one of those yeasts, because the one that you guys do a banana beer, a banana porter, that there's no banana in. It's just the
– from the yeast.
Just from the yeast.
Well, we actually – the Dirty Banana, which is it's got some chocolate in it. But it pairs good with the yeast, the T58 yeast, Belgian yeast, that gives you that banana-y flavor. And it seems to pair fairly well with that chocolate.
Yeah. And the one that Vince did was perfectly acceptable. It was a good beer.
That's the way we came up with the Dirty Banana.
Right. So. But Love on Tap was a huge success. We had
For those who don't know, Love on Tap was at Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland.
Right. It was a beer festival, a winter beer festival. And I think it was a huge success. There were a couple of little snags. And it's one of those things where you hate to see something go wrong, especially when you're like, this is going to go wrong and no one will listen to you. So nothing went wrong. A couple people ran out of beer. And this isn't giving Secrets too hard a time, but they have a relationship with some distributors and no relationship with other distributors. So the distributors they had a relationship with, they're like, bring all the beer you can and then you just have to take back anything we don't use. But they didn't feel comfortable asking the other distributors to do that. So some people ran out of beer. It was tough. Lori ran out of beer from Third Wave. Miss Pillion ran out of beer. And
I think it's fantastic. First year event, you had 800 people out for an event in the end of or mid February
in
Ocean City.
It was really good. The hotels were very, very happy. Secrets was ecstatic. I think I said it before. The other reason that they were worried about ordering too much beer is the last time they had a beer festival, they had 150 people wow. show up. So, but you know, we were really out banging the drum. I forget because I get into other things and I forget that people sometimes listen to, like, people really do listen to this show. I mean, there's no one listening this very second, but they do download it and they do listen to it and they do read the blogs and they do follow along what's going on. And when you say, hey, we're having a beer festival, it doesn't hurt that the one we did in October was such a huge success. We did one, the one you were at in October was a massive, massive success. And because of that, we were able to, we had the mailing list and there were a lot of people on the mailing list who were like, yeah, we had such a good time last time. We're coming this time. And it was funny. And it was actually, I don't know if it was good or bad for my ego, but several people recognized me from my beer talk last time. They're like, hey, you know, you're that beer book guy. So that was really, really cool. One of the Dogfish pourers recognized me. And a couple of people, you know, one couple who bought the book from me and lived near the Bordley House in Pennsylvania, which is cool. That's one of the main guys in my book had a place in Pennsylvania, and they live near his place in Pennsylvania. So they're going to put me in touch, hopefully, with the historical society there, and maybe they have a recipe for his beer. And even if they don't, maybe we can, you know. Maybe we can do some you know cross promotion where we
pull it out of the air.
get a beer for them. But so that was huge success. So thank you for everyone who came out. Anyone who didn't come out but would like to be invited to the next one, if you like the shorecraftbeer.com page, if you go to the website, you can sign up to be on the mailing list, and that's how we send out all of our notifications about the beer festivals. And you had a class on Saturday.
Yeah, all grain brewing.
Oh, the all grain was Saturday.
Yeah, that was Saturday. Oh. The Rausch beer.
And now it's out now? Or it's not? It's not done yet.
No, it's not done yet. Oh. It's fermenting, but I can get you a taste today.
Oh yeah,
what it tastes like. It's almost done.
And we'll have a taste for next week.
One was an ale. One was a lager. The lager is still fermenting, but we can still taste it, and then it needs to be lagered for about 3 weeks, and then we'll have it on tap.
Yeah, that's why I was confused when you said I thought we were talking about two different beers. So
you can taste a beer at any stage.
It's beer, right? It's still
not
beer
done yet, but we'll get a taste of it.
And speaking of waiting a long time for beer, one of the first stories we want to talk about this week comes from Italy, where they've rebooted a monastery to start producing beer again. And
very interesting. I thought that was amazing. It's the Benedictine monks. It's where St. Benedictine was born. It's in a place about 100 miles northeast of Rome, Norcia, N-O-R-C-I-A. But the beer is called Beer Norcia, but it's N-U-R-S-I-A, and I think it's just the translation between English and Italian. Spelling's never seen.
Just to make sure people are saying it right. Yeah, the cool thing I thought was that he and his sister, but I didn't know that St. Benedictine had a sister who was also a saint. So that was
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, his sister Scholastica or something. And I'm like, that's a horrible name to give a little girl. No wonder she had to become a nun.
But these Benedictine monks have only had the monastery active for the last 15 years at this time. They had, I think it ran for 1,000 years, but for some reason the monastery in Norcia stopped 200 years ago.
Right.
And then in 2000 it started back up again, and it was mostly due to support from the United States. There's actually 12 monks there that are U.S. citizens, and I think there's a total of 19 monks. The rest are, I assume, Italian.
Right, just lay people.
What I read didn't really say, but it's still amazing. The main reason for having the brewery is to fund the monastery, which is great.
And that was always the case. Like, that's one of the first things beer ever did. Was fund monasteries. The monks would, because I mean, who's got more time on their hands to watch, you know, to watch things boil than monks. And also,
and knowledge wise, they have the knowledge to do these.
They know all the chemistry and the science of it. Back in the middle ages.
Yes.
And they had the prayers going on, to count time. So they always knew how long things were because they had a person saying Hail Marys all day. It's like, you know, you go, did you know that? That was the early clocks. There was a monk, and his job was to say the Hail Mary to say a prayer all day. And then, you know, after he'd said 100 of them, let's say, that meant an hour had passed. Another monk would come on and he'd do it for an hour or whatever.
I found another thing also. They had produced a CD a couple years ago that you can actually still get of chants of all the monks chanting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I have a Gregorian chant album, but do you remember that was very popular in the 1980s?
Mm-hmm.
I have that. I found it at a used bookstore or whatever, but I'll get my hands on the Benedictine beer chant because that should be fun to listen to.
But they're making two beers. Let's go back to the beer.
Right, yes, absolutely.
They're making two beers, a blonde beer and an extra, which is a dark ale, about 10%. I think the blonde's about 6% and the other one's 10%. You can actually reserve your beer if you want to get it here. It's en route as we speak, being shipped. How much, I'm not sure, but they're going to start distribution here sometime in March. They anticipate having all pre-orders filled by the end of March, and then you can actually sign up to get monthly distributions if you want. That'd be either 6 or 12 bottles. They're in 750 milliliters.
And they're only, I say only because of the demand, they're only doing 3,000 bottles a day or whatever, right? They have a 10-barrel system, or is that was it 10-barrel, 7-barrel?
Wasn't, yeah, I didn't get the size of it.
It was they were doing 3,000 bottles a day,
yeah.
So it wasn't much. I feel like that's 10. Is that 10? I don't know.
Yeah.
7 barrels or 10 barrels. Point is, it's not very much beer for distributing, you know, internationally usually. So I was wondering, did you go onto the website? Do you know how much the beer is?
85 for 6, I think it was, about $15 a bottle.
That's not outrageous.
No, it's not.
I
think if you sign up for a period of time, they're giving you glasses and something else and a certificate.
I don't know.
Now it's time to do it. I mean, it's
yeah, before,
brand new.
Before it gets hot, I might do it myself only because as I said as we were going on air, I did my taxes last night, and it was weird to see how much beer was tax deductible. There was an amount of tax deductible beer, and when you're feeling bad about yourself and you get to look at your tax statements and say, wow, I spent, you know, pretty much, I guess, a third of what I spent on beer last year ended up being tax deductible.
Great.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, just that's one of the things
part
I always
of
say
your,
is,
job.
Yeah, it's my job. If I go there, I'm going to write about it. And especially if I buy a beer, I'm definitely going to write about it because it counts. So, so maybe I'll sign up. We'll do a couple podcasts on the beer, and then thank you, Uncle Sam, for helping me to spread the word about this beer that, you know, we're importing. So, and it would violate my try to drink beer from within 100 miles of where you're made, but you feel like you got to try.
It's just a little bit out of the range.
It's not too much to ask. And I figure it would be,
you can just do one time.
Right.
Or get a 6-month subscription.
Yeah.
And bring me some.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, when you think about it, $80 a month, $85 a month is not that much, you know. And especially
six special beers.
Yeah, I think it's worth it, as you said, at least once. But again, if you do it for 6 months and then you have like a little party where you get to taste them all, that'd be, you know, yeah. I'll be a hero when I go back to New Jersey because they already get lots of really cool beers when I go up. So that'll be fun.
But the site was beer. Nursica, N-U-R-C-I-A, B-I-R-R-A,
B-I-R-A,
Yeah, beer hop.
And I was surprised that the other thing I'd ask is if you'd been, I guess that'll have to go on your list of places to go.
Not been there, but it's about 100 miles, like I said, northeast of Rome. The pictures I saw, it looks like it's a very interesting area. I think it's called the Umbria area of Italy, but it's very not huge mountains, but hilly.
Yeah.
I don't know, nothing like the Alps, but it's still hilly.
Right, because that's what it's kind of in central Italy. It's not. I would have figured that it would be that it would have been closer to. Closer to the Alps, closer to Switzerland or whatever.
No, it's just not. I mean, it's like the Piedmont area. It's hilly, too.
Right.
Lots of Italy is not flat.
I was just distracted out the window. There is a bird, and I was wondering if it was a bald eagle. Because we have a ton of them. We have a ton of bald eagles here, and they do just kind of hang around above the fields and just...
Did you hear about the ones that were killed in not too far from here?
Yeah.
Ellsberg?
Yeah. I don't know what that was all about at all.
Don't know. The only thing I heard, they suspect that the eagles got into something that had been poisoned.
Poisoned, yeah. They were trying to kill a fox, and they got the eagles, and that's too bad.
There was 15 of them. That's unusual.
Well, there were 13 of them. So that's I remember that because I made a colony joke. I said maybe it was a weird sacrifice, one for each of the original colonies.
But that's unusual with that many dead bald eagles.
Right, but it's also unusual to have that many together. Like, we're doing well. The bald eagles have come back in a big way.
Yes.
And they started them right here on Y Island, where they also started Maryland Beer. So we have a lot of them, and they do. It's still a little surprising to see when you're driving along, and I still will occasionally pull over.
I do, too.
And watch them, especially – when they're feasting on carcasses, that's cool. But when they're just kind of hanging in the air,
but they're what do you want to say? They scare away the vultures.
Oh yeah,
they're competing with the vultures for food. So, but they generally reign. So
yeah, I think
they get first dibs on it because they, I think, like fresher stuff. But they'll eat anything that they can find. But the vultures want something that's been dead
a while. Yeah. And that's why when I saw the one just floating up in the air, you know, usually when there are vultures, there are a couple. And when you see one just out in the middle of a field, a lot of times it'll be a bald eagle. This has been
great to watch fly.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful birds. They genuinely are. And you wonder, like, it's not surprising that they caught people's imagination because they are just really, really impressive, huge, strong, good looking birds. So. This has been Bald Eagle Talk.
Yep.
We're going to move along to what is next on Budweiser, right?
Oklahoma
Budweiser. Yeah. We are pulling up the story. So in Oklahoma, Anheuser-Busch is fighting to keep
King of Beers.
The King of Beers is fighting
King in Oklahoma
to keep a two-tiered system and
keep
not
their kingdom
and not allow a third tier. The two things the legislature wants to do. The first thing they want to do is they want to make Budweiser divest its distributors there so that the distributor, the law will be you can't distribute your own beer. And that's what caught my interest because
I was based on that too. They're a two-tier system, but they're
both tiers. Yeah. And so that what I thought was interesting about that is that it works more. It's better for smaller breweries if they can distribute on their own if they want to. And so, you know, one of the ways that they can keep smaller breweries from being competitive is by making sure that they can't self-distribute. However, in Oklahoma, apparently, you can buy 3.2%. I guess it's beer, and it's not. It's considered food.
The way I read that was anything under 3.2 is not considered beer.
Right, it's considered food,
and it's taxed at a whole different level.
And right now, Budweiser is the only company making this 3.2. Well, let's call it near beer. That's what they called it back in the 30s when they made this law. So selling the near beer, and I can't.
But does that mean do they just still have to be 21 to buy it? I don't understand that.
I don't either. I remember they could buy near beer. Kids could buy near beer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, if you think regular beer is gross when you're a kid, you should try near beer. But I want to counsel my friends a little bit in Oklahoma. If you are so desperate for alcohol that you need to buy, you know, a 24 pack of near beer, you may want to get into a program, you know, cause that's just, it doesn't seem a point. Would I buy a six pack if I were in Oklahoma? Absolutely. And I would totally bring it home, but I can't see the appeal of that unless it's very good. I mean, it's
possible.
It could be good.
Lawnmower beer, but you drink it all day long.
Yeah. I mean, it could be good. I'm skeptical that, and this is being a little crappy, but I'm skeptical that Budweiser is making a very good 3.2% beer for mass distribution, but they could be.
They're strictly against this.
They're very against it because the other thing that it would do is it would allow all beer to be sold in grocery stores, not just
87% of beers in grocery stores.
Right, not just their beer, but, you know, beer that's more than 3.2%.
Talk about a monopoly.
Yeah, that's a crazy monopoly. And so it would kind of crack Oklahoma open for the craft beer market, where it hasn't been doing great, but it's there in the Midwest where there are other really good, you know.
I think the thing is that you can get the near beer in the grocery stores, where if you want real beer, you got to go to packaged goods stores.
Right.
But more people shop in grocery stores, so I guess that's why they sell so much in the grocery store.
Right. And if you could buy beer in the grocery store, which I forget, can you do that in Delaware? Does Delaware have that?
No.
You can do it in Maryland, but Maryland doesn't – again, this is just me. Maryland doesn't have much of a selection. You know, I mean, increasingly they have a better selection. But you have to remember, a grocery store is not a beer store. Like, we're used to beer stores where you go in and there's a beer aisle, you know. Or there are several beer aisles. In the grocery store, there's just one, and it's mostly the big production beers.
And maybe it's just the fact that they don't want to carry that much.
Right.
So, I mean, we've gone to, I think it's Total Wine in Baltimore, and they've got a huge selection of beers.
And I think that's the difference. There are rows and rows of beers that you can get in some of the bigger beer and wine stores. But in grocery stores, they're like, if you really wanted beer, you'd go get it. You're just here to pick up a six pack like me last night. Just what's wet and cold. I'm stopping off on my way home. What's wet, what's cold. And what's already ready to go. So it'll be interesting to see. And it's also interesting in a state that you feel like if Budweiser has 87% of the market in Oklahoma, you would figure they would have the juice to kill this, but it looks like they might not.
That may be one of the reasons for just, you know, it's too much monopoly.
Right.
Legislatures may say, you know, you've got way too much more than what your share is.
And when
they're touting it, it's a big negative on their part because they'd lose 700 jobs.
Right.
But those jobs, I think, would be divested someplace else.
Yeah.
Other people would be hired.
Right. They would lose 700 employees. I'm sure someone else would start the new distribution companies that would have to start up. And, you know.
But I guess they're including that over that 5-year period where they'd have to sell off their distribution.
Right.
Somebody else would be picking it up, but I'm sure they're using those employees as.
Yeah, middle managers you mean it's like bargaining chips? Yeah. I'm sure that.
Not saying that they're going to be rehired by whoever buys them.
Right. But I can't imagine that isn't going to be the case. So, I mean, we'll follow this story as it develops. But, and it was interesting when I first wrote the post about this story, they changed the story out from under me. So I had written a post. And then they went back in and then they updated it. So I had written my story on February 18th. And on February 19th, they're like, here are the new facts. I'm like, well, that doesn't go with what I said anymore. So
it's changing as
speed kills. I wanted to talk about there's a pairing story.
That's good. That gives you more to talk about.
Absolutely. So. And we did get more to talk about. There's a pairing story that I don't think we're going to get a chance to go over because I do want to talk about – One other thing from the beer festival, which was the Not Your Daughter's Thin Mint beer, which was made by
Fordham
Dominion. And the reason I wanted to talk about that was because I like those guys. I like them. They're nice people. I was really a little worried and a little skeptical about.
Were the Girl Scouts there selling
cookies? The Girl Scouts were not there selling cookies. And several people did come up to me and talk about this Girl Scout cookie pairing thing, which we'll talk about next week if we get to it at all. But the thin, not your, if you can get out, it went very quickly. And it's getting to be kind of a rare beer, so I don't know
was
if you can get your hands on it.
Thing?
Yeah, it was on tap.
You might be able to find some throughout the state somewhere.
Right.
Especially, I mean, in Delaware.
Right, in Delaware you can find it. And if you can find it, you should definitely try it. It was real good. And I was surprised because I'm always worried about these beers that they're going to be sweet. I think, you know, and no offense to our friends at Duclaw, but after that Sweet Baby Jesus, yeah. Every time I taste an interesting beer, I'm always afraid it's going to be too sweet. And I thought it. And so.
Or my dad's got my dad's
beer. Or not the dad's root beer. Same
too.
Thing. It's very, very sweet. This was very flavorful. And I mean, this is a compliment. It was almost gritty. I don't know if you've ever had, like, if your cookie broke off in the milk and then at the bottom of the milk, it was like a little gritty. I don't know if they did it with the comp. I think it was a combination of the carbonation and the flavors because you're used to having
ready.
No, it just had that weird mouthfeel because of the mint, which was so subtle. It wasn't like a thin mint where, you know, the mint bites your head off, you know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
sounded
no
good.
It wasn't and it wasn't real fragrant. It was a little tiny bit fragrant, and it was a little tiny bit minty, and it was a little tiny bit chocolatey. It was enough that you could say, yes, that's exactly what it is. But it wasn't so much that, like, if I walked by you, you'd be like, oh, my God, what are you drinking there?
Do you know if it was only on draft or did they have it also available for bottles?
I can't imagine that they didn't bottle it because that's a
unique flavor.
It really is. It really is. And I think that they maybe this year they test it out and then next year they go big with it because one of the things that I didn't know, and I don't know why, because everybody else does it as well. But I think the first Friday of every month, they have a new cask tapping. Mm-hmm. And so they do a different beer every month. And some of them they do for production and
right
some of them
right
they just
the
do
brewery?
Right there at the brewery. So I think this might have been from the brewery stash because that was
and
one of the beers.
No, brewery is in Dover.
Right. The brewery is right in Dover, right by the Air Force Base.
Yep.
And we had asked them We tried to get word out to the breweries, like, bring more beer in case, you know, kind of on the sly.
So did they run out of that one?
Oh, yeah. And they also had their cherry blossom lager, which I didn't even get to taste because by the time I was done taking tickets and got over there, that one was gone. That one went immediately. But that I think everybody likes that beer. I don't know if you've had that.
It sounds like you need to delegate that ticket taking thing to somebody else.
Yes.
So you can hit the beers first.
Yes, absolutely. It was unavoidable, but hopefully it won't ever happen again because it's really not my wheelhouse being up front and talking to people. And that's the other thing I wanted to say about it. So I was working with one of the women from Secrets who's also taking tickets, and I was just, you know, smiling and being pleasant. And she's like, you know, you seem like you're in a real good mood. And I'm like, this is the crappiest day I've had at work yet. And she's like, what's going wrong? I'm like, nothing's going wrong. I'm like, that's how good my job is. Like, this is like, I won't get to drink beer for another hour. That's the worst my job is going to get this year. And she's like, oh yeah, I can see why you don't have anything to complain about. So there's that. And that'll bring us to the end of the show, except do we have classes? Do you have any classes coming up?
I don't remember now. No, unfortunately, I don't remember.
Sir.
Check our website under everything else. We have a class schedule there. We are planning on having this is not beer-related, but we're planning sometime next month have a wine get-together in the evening like we did last year. But we will have other classes scheduled. So.
Very cool. And I have nothing coming up either. My book is coming out, but it's not. But you can check it out. As Doug said, go to extremebrewing.com, click under everything else, and click under podcast, and that will take you to the Shore Craft Beer, State of the Beer, all of the beer podcasts and blogs and all of our social things.
And our class schedule.
And the class schedule. So you can keep all up to date. And until next week.
Now, I always forget this, and Tony really laughed at me when he came in today, because the saying, I've put it up on the wall in big letters, and it says, drink what you like and be happy.
Excellent. Thank you.
Beer with Strangers is recorded at Extreme Brewing in Laurel, Delaware. For more information about the show and for beer news and commentary, visit stateofthebeer.com, where you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes and follow along on whichever social network you're least likely to ignore. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. The State of the Beer is strong.